Welcome to the Painesville Assembly of God podcast. We're always encouraged to know God is working through this ministry to touch lives. So if you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending us an email at info@painesvilleag.com. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
Hope in the dark. And what do you do when you find yourself hitting a spiritual wall? It's just amazing to me, just the different words today and worship and all of those things, the encouragement, all go into the same theme. I just really think God wants to speak to us this morning, don't you? I think God wants to speak to us this morning. You know, when everything in you, when the things that you believe, maybe the things that you believe about the goodness of God conflict with circumstances, conflict with something that's happening in your life or things happening around you, you're not sure what to do. How many of you know it can impact your faith? Oftentimes we find ourselves wrestling with doubts. What we think we know about God or what we've been told about God, when it comes in conflict with what we are experiencing personally in our lives, we can begin to wrestle with doubt. We're not quite sure what is this? We want to believe that God is good even when life is not. But how many know that's a struggle sometimes? To struggle for faith. And so that's what we're talking about over these next couple of weeks. And in one of the most raw and honest books of the Bible, we're looking at an Old Testament book written by an Old Testament prophet by the name of Habakkuk. And you say, wow, that is quite the name. Yeah, they had names back then, Habakkuk. And as we were studying last week, we looked at Habakkuk chapter 1, and if you were with us, we said that it's not a sitcom sermon. Now, let me just explain for those of you who may not be with us, a sitcom sermon, and when you have a sitcom is something where you have this fun thing, and then there's a conflict, and then at the end, everything is resolved in 30 minutes or less with commercials, you know, all included. But there are certain things in life that just are not resolved in 30 minutes or less. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. There are certain circumstances we go through that just don't get resolved that quickly, that take time for us to really be able to see what's going on. And sometimes we're just in that limbo. We're just waiting. And so this is not a sitcom sermon. Chapter 1 was not a sitcom sermon. Chapter 2 today that we're going to look at is not a sitcom sermon. There's 3 chapters in the book of Habakkuk. And in fact, last week when we looked at wrestling. And we talked about the fact that Habakkuk's name means to wrestle and to embrace. And there are just some times when life is hard and life is not good, and you struggle with the things that you know about God, and you know that God is good, but life doesn't seem good, that you find yourself wrestling and at the same time trying to embrace what you know about God. And that's what we find ourselves in chapter 1, is a wrestling filled with questions and all kinds of things. And so I'd say one word for chapter 1 to kind of sum it up is the word wondering. And that's what Habakkuk was doing. He was wondering. Usually when a prophet receives a word from God, it's a word that they get from God and they speak that to the people. But Habakkuk is a little different, because he, instead of speaking to the people on behalf of God, he is speaking to God on behalf of the people, and he has some questions for the things that he sees around him, the things that don't make sense, and he's wondering, and he's saying, how long, how can you let this happen? The things I know about you and the things I know about your character aren't matching up with what I'm seeing around, and I'm wondering about that. And there are some of you, you're in a season of wondering. There are some things that are happening in your life. There are some circumstances that are happening in your life that are in conflict with what you've been told about God or what you believed about God, and it's left you with questions, and it's left you with doubt, and it's left you wondering. Well, you're not alone. That's Habakkuk. And a little bit of a backstory about Habakkuk. He's a minor prophet, not that he's anything less. He just wrote a little less than everybody else. He prophesied and wrote about 600 years before the birth of Christ. And again, speaking to God on behalf of the people, as opposed to speaking to the people from something that God has given. He was a prophet in the southern kingdom of Israel called Judah. And the people of Judah were once prosperous. They were once blessed. They were in the line of David, and there was revival, and there was great things that were happening, but now they had turned their back on the Lord. There were things that were not going right, and Habakkuk was wondering and crying out to God, saying, deliver us. Deliver us. Where are you? How come you're not working? How come we don't see you at work? And God says, well, I'm going to do something about that. And in chapter 1, we read that he said, now listen, I'm going to do something that's going to amaze you. You wouldn't believe it if I told you, but I'm going to do something. And so Habakkuk's going, all right, the Lord's going to answer my prayer. Everything is going to be good. Look, he said he's going to do something that's going to amaze. He's going to restore us. It's going to be wonderful. We're going to live blessed lives again. And then God continued, and he said something to Habakkuk that Habakkuk didn't understand. And he said, I'm going to raise up your enemy. The Babylonians, I'm going to raise them up, those people that are even worse than you are, and they're going to be the ones that are going to issue my judgment upon you. And Habakkuk is going, wait, hold on a second. That doesn't make sense to me. How many of you have ever felt like God doesn't make sense? Yeah, God doesn't, I mean, and so he's wrestling with this. He doesn't understand, and he wants to believe, and he's wondering. Well, if chapter 1 is wondering, then what we're going to look at today in chapter 2 is another word. And the word that we're going to talk about today is waiting. I told you there are some of you not going to like this message today. Waiting, what are you talking about? Waiting. You know, when you're waiting, when God's promises don't come true yet, when you're in that season of waiting. And you know, I know that there are some of you that are here today, and I won't go into the details, and I'm not going to share the personal circumstances, but there are some of you that I know, I've talked with you, I know where you're at. You're in a season of waiting. You have been waiting on God. You have been praying. You have been hoping. There have been circumstances that have been going on either in your life or in the life of somebody in your family, somebody that you love. Maybe it's your children, or maybe it's your spouse, or maybe it's somebody that's a friend of yours, really. And you watch, and you know where they're at, and you know the wrestling, and you know the struggling, and you just look and you say, God, we have been praying and praying and praying, and we know that you're able to heal, or we know that you're able to provide, or we know that you're able, and it's just not happening yet, and you're waiting. And you're waiting, and I know that, you're waiting. But here's the question I want to ask you to do. What do you do when you're wondering and when you're waiting? What do you do during that season? And in Habakkuk chapter 2, we get some things that Habakkuk says, three different things that God's word tells us to do, very specifically, three things Habakkuk does when you're hurting, when you're wondering, when you don't know what to do. There's three things that we can get out of this that can kind of help us today. Number one is this, listen to God. Listen to God. The first thing that we see Habakkuk doing is listening. He's taking time to listen. Kelly just talked about it. There they went back to Thailand and they weren't quite sure what are we supposed to do? How are we supposed to get this ministry back up and going? A season of waiting, a season of listening. Listening to God. You know, when God's not doing what you want him to do, some people walk away. When God doesn't do what you want him to do, some people doubt and struggle. Some people quit on God. Habakkuk doesn't do those things. When he gets a word from God that he doesn't understand, that he's wrestling with, that he's wondering about, he positions himself in a place, a strategic place, where he can begin to hear and listen to the voice of God. Listen, Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 1, you can follow along on the app notes if you've got our church app, or up on the screen, we'll have the reference there. I encourage you, open up your Bible, Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 1, and it says this, he says this, I will stand, this is Habakkuk talking, I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me and what answer I am to give to this complaint. What's Habakkuk doing? Habakkuk is saying this, you know what? I'm going to put myself in the best possible position. I'm going to position myself in a place where I can begin to hear from God. I'm wondering, I'm wrestling, I'm trying to embrace God in the midst of circumstances and situations I don't understand. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to position myself in a place where I can hear his voice, where I can hear what he's going to say to me. I'm going to be honest with you, that's not something that's very easy to do when you're hurting, is it? When you're hurting and when you're struggling, it's not easy to listen. It's not easy to put yourself in the place, because when you're hurting, what you want to do is you want to get your fist up at God and you want to say, listen, this is what I know you should do. This is what I want you to do. And this is, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to position myself and I'm going to be the one and I'm telling you what I want you to do. It's not easy to listen. But Habakkuk takes a different approach. He stations himself. He places himself in the right place where he can begin to listen to the Lord. How many know our God's a God that speaks to us, isn't he? He speaks to us. God speaks to us. God desires to speak to us. He desires to have a relationship. This isn't just some religion thing. God just isn't up there and he set things in motion and that's it and we're off on our own to do our own thing. No, this is not about a religion. This is about a relationship. And a relationship, sometimes you have to talk things through. And sometimes you have to hear and you've got to listen. I think one of the struggles sometimes we have in marriage relationships or some of the problems we have in relationships and conflict is we like to do all the talking and we want somebody to hear us, but we never want to stop and take the time to actually hear them. And in this relationship with God, there are times when you've got to stop talking and you've got to open up your ears and start listening. We got a position, and that's what Habakkuk does. He positions himself to hear. Well, how do we hear? How does God speak to us? I think God speaks to us through his word. He speaks to us through his word. If you're a follower of Christ, every single day I want to encourage you, get in the word of God. God speaks to us through his word. Read his word. His word is life. Read his word, whether it's a physical copy or a Bible app on your phone, whatever it is. Position yourself to feed on the word of God. God speaks to us through his spirit. You know, I'm not saying, now some people have heard God audibly. Man, they just know it. God has spoken. That has never happened to me. Can I just be honest with you? I've never, thus saith the Lord, Aaron, you know, and I'm in my, oh, Lord, are you here? Am I listening? I've never had one of those moments, but I can tell you that in my spirit when I'm quiet, in my spirit, in those times when I'm quiet, I know that there's been the still small voice of God that has spoken to me in my spirit. It's in my knower. He gives me something in my knower. He speaks to my heart. He speaks to something on the inside. That still small voice. And we've got to learn how to tune in and how to tune out all the noise and all the busyness and all the other things around and begin to tune in the voice of the Lord. God speaks through people. There are others around us. I mean, God spoke to us in our service this morning, but there are others that sometimes will speak into your life. Mentors, people who love you, people who care about you, people who are people of faith that will speak into your life. Sometimes it might be through a sermon or a message, maybe here on a Sunday or maybe something that you're hearing online or you're watching on TV. God speaks through people. God speaks through circumstances. There are circumstances, and I'm going to play a video clip in just a moment that talks about circumstances that got the attention of one guy who he called to be a missionary. He had a call on his life, but it was circumstances that got his attention. God speaks through a message. He speaks through a song, and God speaks. God speaks. So the video clip I want to share is from a documentary called Dying Out Loud. And the first clip, it's from a guy by the name of Stan Stewart, is a missionary along with his wife Anne to the nation of Turkey. And he shares how there were certain circumstances in his life that led to him hearing from the Lord. Let's go ahead and just play this clip if we can. Circumstances. Here he was, Stan Stewart, just living his life, doing a good thing, serving his church, serving. He wasn't off. He wasn't doing something he shouldn't, but he was living his life his way. But it was circumstances that got a hold of him. And in the middle of those circumstances, put him in a position where he was willing to say, God, I don't know. He said he went into his living room. He put up his hands. He said, you have my attention. And there are certain times when we don't understand what the Lord is doing. And oftentimes in those circumstances, if we will position ourselves, if we will stop, if we will wait, if we will listen, it is those opportunities that God can get a hold and redirect our lives. We're wondering. In the midst of wondering, in the midst of wrestling, God can get a hold and change the course of your life if you will listen. You know why we don't want to listen sometimes, though? Because we don't like what God may say. Right? I mean, certainly what Habakkuk had already heard God say was not what he expected God to say. And there are certain times in our lives where we want to do all the talking, but we don't want to stop to listen because, quite frankly, there are times that God says things to us, speaks to us in certain ways, and there are things we don't want to hear. Because they get interrupted. They're interruptions to our lives, or they're just things that we think God ought to move in this way, and God says, no, that's not my plan. You know, one of those people is the Apostle Paul. How many have heard of that guy before? You know, wrote most of the New Testament. I mean, here's a guy that, man, had a radical conversion, passionate about God, radical. Here he is. He's planting churches, doing all things. And yet he writes, he's going through something. We don't exactly know exactly what it is. The Bible calls it a thorn of flesh. 2 Corinthians 12:7-8, he explains that I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. Take it away, take it away, take it away. He obviously, whatever this is, we don't know what it was. We don't, but there's theologians out there. They try to figure out what this is. They try to look. And I know we were just in the message of Galatians over the summer, and we know that Paul struggled something with his eyesight, at least what we can tell. Maybe it was he wanted healing because there was something wrong with his eyesight. We don't know. Some people think maybe he was struggling with some kind of an addiction that wouldn't let go when he writes in Romans and things, the things I want to do, I don't do, and the things I don't want to do, I end up doing. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Anybody here ever felt like that before? You know what I'm talking about? Like, there could be multiple, but we don't know. And the reason we don't know is because we, like Paul, there are certain things that we struggle with. There are certain things we want God to take away. We're pleading and pleading and waiting and saying, take it away, take it away. And rather than take it away, God spoke to him. And he didn't say, yes, I'll take it away. He gave him a different answer. And he said this, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. God tells him, I'm not taking it away. My grace is enough for you. You know, there's a worship song that we sing, and one of my favorites, your grace is enough, your grace is enough. We get all excited, your grace. But do we really know what that means? Do we really know what we're saying? Because there are times, there are certain things that we might be facing or going through, and we're praying and we're saying, Lord, I want you to take it away. And he's saying, my grace is sufficient for you. If I'm Paul, I'm saying, but God, I've had this radical conversion. I'm given everything. I've been whipped. I've been beaten. I've been persecuted. I mean, we're seeing great fruitfulness out of the ministry. I don't need your grace. I need your power. I need your strength. That Peter guy, he needs your grace. Remember that? He kind of denied you uno, dos, tres, you know. He needs your grace. You know, there's that Thomas guy. Remember, you know, he was kind of a doubter. Unless I see the nail prints in your hands or the hole in your side, then I'm not going to believe. You know that Thomas, he needs your grace. I don't need your grace. I need your power. And he says, no, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you. There are times where we say, oh, man, God, I just don't understand. I don't know what's going on. I want you to take it away. I want you to take it away. I want you to take it away. And he says, my grace is sufficient for you. You see, we don't know what that is. We don't know what it is that God might be trying to get a hold of our life, or what it is that God's saying, no, I'm going to be with you through it. I won't take you out of it, but I'll go with you through it. We don't know what that is unless we position ourselves to listen and to hear from God. It's so critical. In fact, when the Apostle James, Jesus' brother, was writing, and he said, hey, you know, to consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds, and he goes on, that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so you may be complete and mature, not lacking anything. And we go, woohoo, we love that. But man, that process, I don't understand that process. You know what the next verse is? He says this, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. You know what that tells me? When you're going through the trial, when you're going through the circumstances, and you don't understand, God says, ask me for wisdom, and I'll give it to you. Ask me for wisdom, I'll give it to you. I'm generous, I'll give it to you. And there are times we've got to position ourselves to ask and to wait and to listen to the wisdom of the Lord that might come through his word, or it may come through an inner witness of our spirit, a still small voice that confirms what his word is to us. It may be through another person or a message or a song or through circumstances, but we've got to position ourselves to listen and to hear from the Lord. The second thing that we can do, you listen to the Lord. When the Lord speaks to you, you know what you got to do? Write it down. Write it down. That's what God reminds Habakkuk, tells him to write it down, record it. Verse 2, then the Lord replied, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. The Lord said, listen, I'm giving you revelation. You positioned yourself to hear me. I'm about to give it to you. And when I give it to you, here's what I want you to do. I want you to write it down. You know why writing it down is so... I'm somebody that's never been real good at journaling. Can I just be real with you? You know, I mean, that's supposed to be like a spiritual thing, a spiritual discipline. Pastors are supposed to like journal and do that. I am terrible at journaling, all right? I'm just going to be honest with you. I have tried. I have just like exercise, you know. You start out real good on the New Year's resolution. I'm going to do it. And I've just not been good. But you know what? Well, I've been kind of convicted because you know why? Because here's what happens. You and I, we tend to forget. There's a very real enemy who likes to steal things. So God speaks to us a word. God gives us a word. Maybe I'm preaching today and God's giving you a word and you're all excited. And then you get in the car and you get your kids in the car. And all of a sudden they start fighting in the back seat. And they're, I want this. And you're like, turn around. You're like going, no, separate. Line right here. Don't cross it. Here's a line. Don't cross the line. Stay away. And you get home and you're so frustrated. You think, oh, I don't know if I heard that word. Was that a word? Is that not a word? I don't know what that was anymore. I'm so frustrated. And the enemy just finds ways to steal it. He steals the promises. He steals the word that God gives. That's what he is. Jesus told a parable about the parable of the sower. And the sower goes out and scatters seed. And the seed represented the word of God. And some fell on the hard paths. And some fell on the thorny paths. And some fell where the weeds were, the rocks were, the thin soil. And the enemy just came, and whether it was circumstances or whether it was a hardness of heart or whether lack of depth or trials, whatever it was, it just, the seed got choked out or stolen. That's what the enemy likes to do. Only 25% actually bore fruit. And then what we have to do is we have to write it down. We have to make it plain. Why? So we can go back and we can read it over and over again and remind ourselves, this is what God spoke to me. This is what God said. This is what God said is going to happen. This is what God said to hold on to. I'm not going to let go. I'm not going to let the enemy steal the word that the Lord has given to me. I'm going to hang on to his word of promise. I'm going to hang on to it because his promises are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. And then what do you have? What do you have? You have when you look back, and sometimes you don't even think about it, but if you've ever gone back, if you've been a journaler, you've ever gone back and you read and you go, oh yeah, I was going through that. Oh man. You know what? God did what he said he was going to do. And it encourages you for the next trial, for the next thing that you experience. Because you have a testimony, because you wrote it down, and you can see how God answered, how God moved. Write it down. Write it down. Make it plain. And thirdly is that word that kind of over encompasses the entire thing, and it's wait. You listen, you wait, and then you... You listen, you write, and then you wait. And you're waiting. You're waiting. I'm going to tell you, wondering is no fun, but waiting is much worse. Right? Waiting is much worse. We just don't like to wait. I don't have my cell phone up here for good reason, but there are just, I can order something on my phone, and we want it overnight, and we want it Amazon Prime shipped, and, there used to be that archaic thing called CDs. You know, I still got a CD player in my car that I never use. CDs, why? Because now if you want music, what do? You just download it. Man, I want it now, and I got it downloaded, and I want my Wi-Fi to be fast, and I want it now. Waiting is no fun. We don't like to wait. We don't like to wait. But Habakkuk 2:3 is one of my favorite verses. One of my favorite verses. And here's what the Lord told Habakkuk. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. Woo! Somebody need to highlight that. You need to find Habakkuk in your Bible, as hard as it may be. You need to go on a treasure hunt and find Habakkuk at the end of the Old Testament. And all them minor prophets that you get all like, I don't know where that is and how do I find. And you need to mark that down. You need to highlight that. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. Appointed time. Though it linger, wait for it. Though it linger, wait for it. There are some of you, you're waiting on God to do something, and it's lingering. Though it linger, wait on it. There is an appointed time that is coming for you. There's an appointed time. Now, let me tell you something. I'm not very good at cooking. Can I just be real? That is not a gift of mine. My family can attest to that, right? Family. I am a terrible cook. And you know, all guys, man, you ought to be good. Guys are like, it's like associated with guys, like one of these here. Guys are good at grilling, right? You know, I used to think I was pretty good at grilling. The problem is, I'm terrible at waiting. I like things quick. I like the microwave. I don't like the crock pot unless I'm not the one that, you know, has to. So when it gets to the grill, you know, we put out the grilled chicken and all that kind of stuff. That's probably one of the ones I'm worst at, the grilled chicken. And what I had to learn is that I had to learn that these things go slow, because here's me. I want to have the heat on high on the grill because I want it to cook fast because I want it to be done. But here's the problem. The outside gets all crispy and the outside looks all done. But when we cut it open, it's still clucking on the inside. You know, and I turned off the heat and everything, we bring it in and we're ready to eat, and we cut, oh, we can't eat that. We're gonna get salmonella or something like that. You know, or I get it all dried out because I'm just like cooking it like so. I had to learn how to slow the heat down. Had to learn how to wait on it. Why? Because then it's more tender, then it's right. Some of you are really hungry, and I'm just like making you more hungry. Why? Because it's always better. The crock pot meal is always better than the microwave, right? You know, in other words, your gourmet dessert might be bacon, friends. Wait for it. Though it linger, wait for it. I love how the Living Bible, I like different translations. Here's how the Living Bible puts this. It says, but these things I plan won't happen right away. Slowly, steadily, surely, the time approaches when the vision will be fulfilled. It seems slow. Do not despair, for these things will surely come to pass. Just be patient. There will not be overdue a single day. Friends, there's an appointed time. In fact, the words appointed time from a Greek word called moed. Moed, it's M-O-W apostrophe E-D, but it's pronounced moed. And you know what it means? The perfect, unstoppable time of God. The perfect, unstoppable timing of God. Your moed is coming, friends. Your moed is coming. Though it linger, wait for it. Your moed is coming. Your appointed time is coming. There will not be a single day that won't happen past the time that God says, this is my appointed time. It will happen. Wait on it. Wait on it. Man, there are times we continue to wait and we don't see it. Is it coming to pass? I don't know. Some of you are in the waiting zone. Hang on in faith. You're wondering. You're getting impatient. I'm telling you, though it linger, wait on it. God's delays are not God's denials, friends. God's delays are not God's denials. Just because you haven't seen it doesn't mean that God's not going to do it. Though it linger, wait on it. And then we look at verse 4, and theologians say this is probably one of the most important verses of Habakkuk. Habakkuk is beside himself. The Babylonians are bad. When are they going to get their due? And if you read Habakkuk chapter 2, that's what's known as the five woes of Babylon. And basically God says, you know what, I'm going to get them. 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 Five woes of Babylon. I'm going to get them. And he's reminding here, and we're not going to read those woes, but he's saying, listen, I'm going to bring justice. Habakkuk says, he's waiting. When are you going to bring justice? I'm going to bring justice. You just wait. Though it linger, wait on it. When are you going to do that? I don't understand. I'm confused. And this is what God says in verse 4. See, the enemy is puffed up. His desires are not upright. But the righteous person will live by his faithfulness. The righteous person will live by his faithfulness. The New Testament scripture says the righteous live by faith. How many have heard that one before? It really comes from this. The righteous will live by faith. We don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. Why? Because our faith is not based on what we see, and it's not based on what we want or getting our desired outcome. That's not faith. That's not faith. When he's talking about it, he's saying our faith is based on the character and the goodness and the nature and the promises of God. And though it linger, we wait for it. We wait by faith. Even though I don't see it with my eyes, I trust you, God. Even with my heart, I don't quite understand, but I'll wait for your goodness. I'll wait on you. I'll walk by faith. I'll walk by faithfulness. I'll walk by faithfulness. And Habakkuk is disturbed and he's confused and he's upset and he's angry and he's feeling betrayed and he's questioning and he's doubting and he's trying to hang on. And he says three words in verse 20. So God says the righteous live by faith, and then he gives the woes, and he comes down to verse 20. And probably the most three important words that you need to get inside your spirit. Three important words when you're facing circumstances, situations you don't understand. You're waiting. Three important words you need to get in your spirit. And here's how he opens Habakkuk 2:20. He says, But the Lord. These are my circumstances. This is the way it looks. This is the picture. It looks dark. I don't understand it. I'm waiting and you haven't come through. But he says, But the Lord. There are some of you need to get in your spirit. But the Lord. Though it linger, wait for it. Why? But the Lord. The righteous live by faith. But the Lord. But the Lord what? What does he say? But the Lord is in his holy temple. There he is. But the Lord is in his holy temple. In other words, man, I got to remind myself, God's still on the throne. God's still there in the temple. My circumstances, I may not know what's going on, but he never changes. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He hasn't left his post. He is still there, but the Lord. Because he is there, but the Lord. I don't see it that way, but with God, there's always a way. There's an aching in my heart, but I choose to trust God. I don't understand. I can't see it. I don't know what the future holds, but the Lord. He is still in his temple. He is still there, and therefore, I know that I can trust him. I can trust him. God is still on the throne. Now, let me clarify something about waiting, friends. Waiting is not passive. Larry talked about going to a restaurant, having people serve and wait on him. Waiting is not passive. Waiting is not passive. Enduring can be passive, but waiting is active. And when the waiter comes out, they're waiting on you. And today I want to encourage you, when you're waiting on the Lord, there are some things that you can do. You can position yourself to listen to God. You can write down what the Lord is speaking to you, what he says, reminders that he gives you along the way so that the enemy doesn't steal it. You can wait in faith and you can say, though it linger, I will wait on you. I will wait on you. Now listen, God had called in this documentary, and I just want to play one more clip for you as our closing today. But, you know, some of you are in some pretty terrible circumstances. Well, Stan began to hear from God, and he went, and he and his family left everything to go to the unreached people groups of Turkey. And while they were there, after 2 years, they began to just build relationships with people and get to know people. And they'd seen some miracles. But not a single convert, nothing had moved the church to come to know Christ. Even though there had been miracles, there had been things that had been happening, and they began to pray, and they said, God, what needs to happen? And God answered their prayer in a way they didn't expect. And I want to just go ahead and play this clip as they begin to talk about the answer that God gave them and how they would respond. That's hard, isn't it? Remember what Habakkuk means? Wrestling, embracing. To wrestle. To embrace. You know, I don't always understand why God allows certain things to happen in our lives. But we wrestle with his goodness because we know he's got a plan. And there's an appointed time. And there's a walk by faith. And we don't know. And there were some, as they talked about, God did miracles. God is able to heal. God is able to deliver. God is able to provide. God is able to do all of those things. But there are times when God has a plan that maybe doesn't make sense to us. But there is that reason why we're going through the things that we're going through. And we've got to position ourselves to listen. We've got to wrestle with the doubts. We've got to struggle through the faith. And we've got to say, God, what are you doing? What are you wanting to do? What are you trying to get my attention for? God, what is your plan? And I don't know what the wrestling is. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what your family's going through. I don't know all of them. Some of them I know. Some of them I don't. But I do know this. God has a plan. And sometimes we're waiting and we're waiting and we're saying, though it lingers, I don't understand. I want to encourage you. Don't quit on God. Don't quit on God. Wait on him. Listen to him. Write down what he says. And say, Lord, what is your plan? I got to get that peace in your plan. Because when you get that peace and you hear from God, whatever your circumstances, like Stan and Ann, there's a peace that comes. And whether that's healing or whether that's saying there's a different plan, when you have the peace of God, you can go through whatever it is. But that comes from wrestling and waiting on the Lord. Wrestling and waiting on Jesus. It's difficult. Chapter 1 is wondering. Chapter 2 is waiting. You got to come back next week for chapter 3. I'm not going to tell you. I'm not going to tell you what happens. But I want to encourage you. It will encourage you. Don't walk away from God. Don't quit on God. He's big enough to handle the wrestling. He's big enough to handle your questions. He wants you to walk by faith and embrace his plan. But you got to set aside time to listen to the Lord. You got to write down and record what he tells you. And you got to wait for his appointed time. Wait in faithfulness. And you will see the Lord at work. And you say, God, I need it. And God says, I need your power. And he says, I've got grace for you. I've got grace for you. Some of you need the grace of the Lord this morning in your lives. I'm going to ask the worship team to come, and I want to close us this morning, and I want to pray, because there are so many of you that are going through some things, and I'm going to open up these altars if you want to come for prayer, and some of you have the courage. You want to come down, and somebody will pray with you and encourage you and pray with you today. But I want to pray just, Lord, you know what's going on. Father, you know all the different areas and all the different circumstances. And Father, it's tough to make sense of it. It's tough to make sense of how you can be good and still allow these things to happen in our lives. And we wrestle with our doubts. But Lord, we also were waiting on you, because you said in your word there's an appointed time. You said in your word there's an appointed time, and that the righteous will live by faithfulness. And God, we want to be faithful as we wrestle. We want to hang on. We don't want to quit. We need to hear from you. Father, there are those that are here this morning that need to hear from you. They need to hear your voice. They need to hear your word. They need to get a hold of your promises. Oh God, I pray that you would speak today. I pray that you would speak to hearts today. I pray whatever circumstances, whatever anyone is going through, that God, you would speak today. You would speak today. You would give your word. We would hang on to your promises. They're yes and amen in Christ Jesus. We don't understand, but we wait on you. We wait on you. We don't know why you use the things that you use. Habakkuk didn't know why you wanted to use the Babylonians, that evil group of people. Why did you do that? We don't know why you use the circumstances and the situations and the dark things that you do. But God, like Job, we hang on to you. Like Joseph, we hang on to you. Like those, God, who have gone before, we hang on to you. Like David, who was running and wondering and knew your promise but didn't see it. We wait on you. We wait on you. Though it lingers, we wait for your appointed time. Father, whatever circumstances, whatever's happening, I just pray a release of your Holy Spirit. I pray a release, God, that you would speak. That you would be an encouragement. That you would bring peace. That you would give a word that would bring peace, that we would hear from you. We would position ourselves to hear from you, because you are able. You are the hope in the dark. You are the presence in the valley of the shadow of death. We will not fear, for you are with us. Your rod and your staff, they comfort us. It's in the valley. It's in the valley. It's in the valley that we press in and we get to know you. It's in the valley that we get to know you. Oh God, be with those that are in the valley. Be with those that are in the valley right now. In Jesus' name. I just want to pause for a moment, and I just want to ask you, are you struggling? Are you wrestling with faith? And you would just be honest and you'd say, Pastor, will you pray for me? I want to believe, but I'm struggling right now. There's some circumstances I don't understand. And you would just say, Pastor, that's me. I want to believe, but I'm struggling right now. I'm struggling right now with what I'm going through. And I need prayer today. If that's you, will you just slip up your hand today? I'm struggling, but I need prayer today. Yeah, all over. All over. God, there's those that are struggling in the waiting right now. But you have the appointed time. I pray your encouragement today. I pray your encouragement today in Jesus' name. All of those, God, who raised up their hands, God, you know what they're going through. You know their circumstances. You said those that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Father, we call on your name today. We look for our rescue and our salvation from you. We look, God, for you to speak to us. We look, God, to hear from you that your grace is sufficient. Your grace is sufficient. Oh, God, the appointed time. I just pray your encouragement to hang on. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Can we just stand and just close with a declaration of worship today, the goodness of our God. And if you need prayer, maybe you're going through one of those circumstances and you want someone to pray with you today, or maybe you just need to come and do business with God as we worship, will you just come? Will you just come? We want to pray for you, or you can just come out to the wings if you want and kneel down if you just want to pray alone and wrestle with some things with the Lord. But we want to pray with you. Will you come and let us pray with you as we just end this service with worship today? Friends, remember, no matter what your circumstances, God has a purpose and a plan. No matter what you're going through, you may not understand, you may have to wrestle. You may have to wrestle, you may have to wait, but though it linger, there's an appointed time, and God has a purpose and God has a plan. Pray for that wisdom. Seek the Lord and say, God, what are you doing? What do you want to do? How do you give me wisdom in the midst of this? And let the Lord speak to you. Let the Lord speak to you. Hang on to His promises. Don't quit. Call on the Lord and wait on Him, and He will work. He will work. Father, I just pray that, Lord, we would remember. We'd remember that, Lord, you have an appointed time. We would walk by faith. That, God, we don't understand, we don't know, but we know that you're in control. But the Lord, you are still in your temple. You are still on your throne. And because of that, but the Lord, we will walk by faith. We will wait on you. We will listen to you. And Father, we will learn that Father, you have a purpose and that you're walking with us. We're not alone. Father, I just pray that you would just give strength and give grace, and that you would be at work, God, in the lives of everyone that is here today. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you are encouraged and strengthened by God's Word. For more information about Painesville Assembly of God, please visit PainesvilleAG.com.